We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob Dukansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or csicpa.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know. I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I am Bill Spadia here with my co-hosts Jessica Nutt and Jay Black.
Yay.
I'm in kind of a place, Spadia. What?
You are in a good place.
No, I'm in a bad place now.
Why because are you in a bad place?
Right before the podcast,
yeah.
You say, I got a great story about you.
I don't even know if it's a great story. It's a story. So I have a meeting today.
Right.
Which sometimes I forget I have meetings or on my calendar, it pops up. I was running a mile a minute. I had to go do a new headshot with Lou.
Gotcha. Ooh,
because
fancy.
Listen to this, because they didn't like the other headshot. There was a tiny bit of chasing in there. They're like, we want it to be branded. I'm
gotcha.
Like, oh my God, really?
Lou was mad he didn't take it.
He was mad he didn't take it. Yeah, so he took it.
Did Lou make you go to his house and get drunk to do the headshot?
Interesting.
Because that's how I had mine done.
Really? And yours was...
yours is shirtless too, right? How much baby oil did Lou bring in for you? Because I mean, it was a baby pool full of baby oil for me.
This is why we can't have nice things. The rest of the staff doesn't listen to the podcast. They're worried about what's going to be said.
They know better.
So here's what happened. So I'm at this meeting.
Right.
Yes. Good meeting. Good things will come out of it. I'm not going to name any names.
Okay.
It's possible that, right, anyway.
We name it after the podcast?
After the podcast. Okay. So I'm having the meeting, and I said, I was talking about the podcast, and I'm like, you know, Jessica and I, and there was an expectation that Jessica was going to be at this meeting. So anyway, this is for you, the brothers.
Thank you.
And I'm like, oh, and Jay Black? He's like, Jay Black, he... And he stopped, and I thought, wait a minute. Which Jay Black did you just act like you know?
Gotcha. Wait. Was it
I thought maybe he had a recognition of porn star Jay Black.
Gay porn star Jay Black.
And he was about to say something, and then I'm like, Jay Black the comedian.
Oh.
And I was even going to make the joke, and then I thought it could be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
So depending. I didn't. Anyway, yeah. That's my story. It's not a great story.
So they knew me?
Well, I don't know.
That's so nice.
You know, when you're at a meeting and someone says something, you're just like kind of go along, like, yeah, that guy. Of course I know that guy. But since you get confused with the porn star,
right?
Like, you can't say that about Jay Black.
What if he was like, Jay Black, oh my God, I was searching for my favorite porn star and I came across his comedy and I masturbated to it.
Like, wow, that. Really? Wait there.
Gross.
What? Jessica, right, please.
Now we
get
can
it
introduce
back.
Our guest. Well,
Jessica, who is very uncomfortable.
Jessica,
now.
I'm just saying,
Jessica, we're all uncomfortable.
If you were searching for the porn star Jay Black, you're already in the mood
Why
to do something
Jay
like
make
that.
Make everyone uncomfortable.
And
all
maybe
the time.
Me was what filled that.
You I'm ruined just it. You ruined a perfectly good story, which it had like a touch of innocence, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe a little bit of confusion, and you went right there.
Yeah, well, I think every story should end with, and then they masturbated.
Listen, ew. Get no ideas about the title of this podcast. Oh, no. Just stop it right there.
Oh, yeah.
Just that's it.
Dot, 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 and then they masturbated with Jonathan Van Halen.
Jonathan, welcome to
Thank
the podcast.
You.
Sorry, my apologies for my co-host. I don't know what to say.
Okay.
So let's get the jokes out of the way right away. Van Halen is actually your name.
Yes, yes. One letter off from a very popular 80s band.
So how awful was that, or how hard? Like, how often do you hear those jokes?
Twice this week. You know?
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I had two coming in.
Yeah, yeah. It's Hot for Teacher. I get that a lot because I used to teach. So when you're searching for, you know, videos of me to masturbate to, you might type in Jay Black Hot for Teacher. I'm just saying that it might be something. Jessica,
I have not talked to Jay in a while.
Yeah.
And now I'm remembering.
Now you know why. Now you know why.
I get it, Jess.
That's my cross to bear. It's, I mean.
Knowing Jay?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, your name. Yes.
Yes. No,
knowing Jay. Right. That's all of our crosses to bear.
Yes. My dad constantly gets invited to Van Halen concerts whenever they're in town.
For real?
Oh, yeah. Because people are like, oh, Van Halen.
Won't that be funny?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile, he's now seen Van Halen like 10 times in the last however many years. He
really?
Doesn't go anymore.
Did you ever like lie to pick up a girl?
No. But my parents have lied to get reservations at restaurants.
Really?
Tables, yeah.
No kidding.
What fancy restaurants?
I don't know. They lived in New York for a while before they had kids and then. Back when Van Halen was actually popular.
So but you know what?
Nowadays, funny. I don't think anyone cares.
But your name isn't Van Halen, so like anybody could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could call up and go, it's like, my name is Jay
you
Guggenheim.
Could.
It's like, oh, from the Guggenheim Museum people? Like, yeah, it's me. I'm totally in. I like art. Let me come and eat at your restaurant.
I mean,
I would totally do that.
It's not a lie. Foolproof plan. Yeah. Anyone can do it.
That's my new name, Jay Guggenheim.
Jay Guggenheim.
What if there was another porn star named Jay Guggenheim?
Stop, I was just about to say we're in a better place for the naming. The naming is going in a much better direction now. So, Jonathan, you performed at the Stress Factory.
I did. Thank you so
How
much
was
for
it?
Saying that. It was great. I opened for Nimesh Patel, who writes
he's
for
funny.
Saturday Night Live. Yeah, he's
oh,
a funny
Nimesh
guy.
Nimesh Patel did a – he had another guy with him.
Yes, Anthony DeVito.
Anthony DeVito, they both came on
both
the show. Great
New
guys.
Jersey guys. Nice.
Yeah,
cool.
Very funny.
Nimesh is from Parsippany, and Anthony's from Bloomfield, which is kind of my neck of the woods. I'm from Florham Park. Don't live there anymore. But they were both great. It was an awesome time. I was happy to do it.
Thanks, by the way, guys. Note, I had an ex-girlfriend from Florham Park, so
really?
I automatically dislike Florham Park.
Oh, wow.
It was the
oh,
cop.
How
Remember
long
the cop?
Ago?
How long ago? How old am I?
I do remember the cop.
I'm 41, so 20 years ago, a long time ago, back in college.
Okay, so she's probably like 41-ish?
She was a year older
do
than me.
Do we consider that old?
41?
Yeah.
Yeah, way old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill, we're in that mushy middle age. We're like,
where does middle age go to?
So here's the thing. From the age of 30 to 60, if you have kids and a mortgage, everything just gets smushed together to the same beige, disgusting age.
No, I think 30 is like a kid. 30 is kid.
No, but it's
what you're 35.
It's what your responsibilities are.
I've been saying the difference between millennials, if you are or aren't one, and you're right on the age gap, like, do you have a mortgage?
Right.
Then you're probably not
so
a millennial.
So you're buying into this. You agree with this.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
I think it depends on how soulful the sigh that you start your day with is. So like if you start your day with like, all right, I'll get to it. That's a millennial. That's Jessica. Probably wakes up and goes, all right, time to work. And you and me, I wake up.
What you do?
I'm usually trying not to curse when I wake up in the morning when my alarm goes off.
And I wake up like this. Okay, Jay, you can do this. And then I just go through
Jonathan,
my day.
How old are you?
I 23.
23.
23. I was born in 1994.
So you're scaring the guy.
No,
you're scared.
That's what I function as. I function as a living after picture for what your life will be like if you get into comedy.
Every conversation I've had with Jay, the thesis is it gets worse.
Yes. Nothing gets better. Everything. Listen, the entropic yes. nature of the universe sits in our soul, and every day is you just dissembling further and further until you die a heat death and become nothing.
My God.
Welcome to Speaking Millennial, everybody.
Jonathan, back to you, Jonathan. You're 23.
23.
So when did you start comedy? Like 10 minutes ago?
Yeah. No.
Right?
I started stand-up when I was 18. Did it a few times. Then I stopped for a few years.
Yeah.
That's like me and sex. 18, I did it a few times, and then I stopped. I mean, I didn't want to stop, but a couple of years went by where nothing was going on, and then boom, right back into it.
So what happened is I went to the college in New Jersey, right around the corner. Yep.
I did not, but Jay is exuberant about it.
I am a proud graduate of that fine institution.
Did I not know that?
I think you did.
Yeah, you definitely. It was Trenton State at the time.
Yeah,
in the old days.
I graduated in 98.
Oh, so Patrick Lavery wasn't even there.
The what?
Really?
The Git.
Patrick went to TCNJ.
Yeah, but they graduated together?
No, probably not. Okay. He's probably younger than
you. I was going to say.
I just found out you're old, so.
Yeah, I went to TCNJ. It was Trenton State. We switched over midway through. I'm one of two graduating classes that have both a Trenton State and College of New Jersey graduating, like, the diploma.
Oh, really? Yeah,
because you went to both.
And I remember the half-hearted protest when it happened. Like, I was walking by when they announced that it was turning the College of New Jersey. There's like six people protesting.
Why
was
they like, protesting?
Because because they're college kids, and college kids are dumb and they protest stuff. Yeah. And I remember walking by going, we need a Vietnam. Like, we need something that you can like legitimately protest against, because this is sad.
So anyways, my friends in their basement in Ewing, they did a lot of like punk shows, pop punk, rock punk, whatever. And people
well, which
go.
Is it? Pop punk or rock punk? It has to be one or the other.
I don't know either. Be insulted if I
are there piercings
pop-punk.
And like colored hair involved?
No. Well, I mean, yeah.
I think of punk like spiked blue hair and all kinds of piercings in uncomfortable places.
I think pop punk is like Green Day, like punk you like.
Green Day is punk?
Yeah.
Well, pop punk is like.
Is that not Green Day?
Pop punk. I didn't hear
pop.
The pop
is like
now
Good
it.
Charlotte.
Now
and,
I know what you're talking about.
And. Like Simple Plan, something that you missed because you were.
That was a J middle-aged sigh, is what you just gave.
Jessica just did a J middle-aged sigh.
Wait a minute.
Jessica just crossed the line into
like
middle-aged.
Just with this podcast.
You're familiar with Good Charlotte,
yes.
Simple Plan. That tracks for you. That's pop punk, a distinction I don't have much investment in.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we would do these stand-up shows in my friend's basement in this house that they rented that was foreclosed on. And people would come, we'd get a keg. That was great. We'd do them like monthly. So
how would you get your material?
Oh,
like what are you writing about at 18?
I mean, it's bad. It just wasn't very good. it went over well because it was an easy crowd. It was our friends and people who are drinking and stuff. But you know, I mean, when you're that age, all you can do is pull from your life, which isn't particularly exciting if you are young and haven't lived much, or essentially just emulate the people who you look up to, the comedians who you learn from. And that's how I would essentially get my stuff, my material.
So you'd go for like 5 or 10 minutes, or you'd just kind of go all night as they were drinking?
No, well, it was very indulgent. We would do, there was like 3 or 4 of us. We would each do stand-up, then we did sketches, and then we would improvise. It was a 2-hour show, and people were into it.
Did they pay? No.
Yeah, they pay $5 at the door.
So you're saying
that was for the beer, though.
Right. Yeah. It was a good deal, actually.
I mean, but there had to have been other drugs to tolerate 2 hours. I mean, there had to have been some other
probably.
Mushrooms or some
I'm
sort
sure
of.
There's a bunch of people
just going into other places, because there's not. I'm sure your sketches are great, but there is nothing worse than a sketch show. There is
why?
No, improv is way worse than sketch show.
Yeah, you know what? I was kind of combining the two. Improv is the like if. I once met a guy who was an improv guy who said, oh, I do improv. That's just like what you do as a stand-up. And I said, oh, no. I am a Marine. You are in the Coast Guard. I mean, we're technically in the same profession, but yours is, ugh. Mine is important.
Well, stand-up, you go in with a plan, generally.
Yeah.
If you are a good stand-up comedian, you know what you are.
But you know what? If you're an improv guy, you have a plan, too, because you yell out, like, what's your occupation, and you kind of know what occupations are going to be.
So what? How do you
there.
Classify whose line is it anyway?
That's improv. Improv.
Yeah, that's
improv. It's a funny show, though.
Yeah, but they're good improvisers.
Here's the thing. There are seven good improvers in the world, and they're all on Whose Line Is It Anyway? There's 700 improv groups that I have been forced to sit through, and you just cry blood. You're like, you are honestly like,
why is it so bad?
Because it's unfunny people searching for funny.
Is it a good introduction if you want to get into comedy?
I guess it might help you get over your stage fright, but it's a different animal. Like, people give you much wider berth because they go, oh, they're coming up with it on the spot. Mm-hmm. So like they're willing to sort of like sit through as people fumble to find the funny. Even Whose Line Is It Anyway is a half hour show. It's a 2.5 hour taping. So they take the half hour that actually worked out of the 2.5 hours.
You got to be smart.
Yeah, you got to be smart. You got to be fast. Yeah. And it's a difficult thing, which is why there's only 7 good ones. And there's also a reason why all of the great improvers are brought to Saturday Night Live and not allowed to improv anymore. Once you get to Saturday Night Live, it has to be written sketches because, you know, lines that you work on and you actually make funny over the course of a week are much better than, okay, I'm a proctologist, bend over, you know, that's it. That's all they got, right? So improv, so, I think the point of this is improv is terrible and
so
everybody hates it.
So it's not improv is what you're telling us.
Well, that's the thing.
Right.
You get together and you sort of, you do games. My son wanted to do improv for a while. So you do things like Smartest Man in the World. You know that one, Jonathan?
Yeah.
It's where
walk us through.
So Smartest Man in the World.
Play it?
All right. So here's how it works.
It's going to be the best show, even though we said that.
Ever. Okay. So here's what you do. Jonathan and I answer your question. You ask us any question, but we're each allowed to only do one word at a time. So, like, you ask a question about the universe, Jessica.
Is the sun hot or cold?
The
sun
is
not
very
particularly
bright.
Wow. Okay. So, could be funny.
Though, okay. There you go. That right there, believe it or not,
that's improv.
That is improv. That's in the top 4% of any improv that has ever been done.
That's the best show we've ever done.
And right? That's where you're at mentally with improv. So if you're doing your list at home, if you're a Speaking Millennial fan and you're trying to make that list of what does Jay hate? Hipsters.
Okay. You hate hipsters.
Wow. Donald Trump.
No, I don't buy it. I don't buy that you hate Donald Trump right under hipsters.
You know what?
I don't.
I sort of have...
You have a weird thing going on with Trump. You're waiting to be convinced.
You know what it is? I like... My talk about Donald Trump is the equivalent of hate sex with an ex. Like,
but you can't seem to pull yourself away.
Right. It's like, I hate this. I hate this. Issue. I hate you, but bend over. So I would say number one, hipsters.
Hipsters.
Number two, improv. And I guess the worst human being in the world to me would be like a guy with a mustache and record collection who asked me to an improv show. I'd be like, you are the worst human being alive. I have to set you on
like
fire.
A Trump button on.
Yeah. Where he's like, right? Dude,
or
I do.
A bumper sticker, like a Make America Great hat on.
I do right wing improv. Actually, you know what? Who's a bad improv artist? Donald Trump.
Because
he gets up there with no speech and just begins to talk. And
I love that.
The audience starts to applaud when he says wall. And the next thing you know, we have immigration policy. And you're like, how did this happen? What happened? Can't you do Smartest Man in the World?
Let's go back to the garage. We did the garage band punk. We got sidetracked on punk because I didn't follow.
We did.
But we can go past that.
So
now I'm at the keg party.
Yeah.
And they're paying. Now you got your friends paying $5 for you to improv and get drunk.
Our friends.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 100, 120
people. So that was only 5 years ago. So in
millennial
speak, that is a long time ago.
217 years ago.
Right? In millennial years, at least a century.
Yes.
Our years, like that was literally 20 minutes ago.
It was. Yeah.
So what happened between, in the last 20 minutes, you got a job, a career?
You're so good at math.
Right? Pretty good, huh? Thank you.
So, Jessica, why don't you ask him what episode number this is?
All right.
Let us sit and figure it out.
When's our next record?
Wait, I don't know what number
this
is.
So, let's see.
Oh, that's the joke?
Improv.
That's the improv.
Improv, yes. Baby.
So I went to CCNJ. I was doing that. I interned. I was a communications TV film major, so I interned at a bunch of different TV shows when I was in college. Graduated, worked for a couple cable news places, and... Now I just focus on stand-up. I go up every night. I'm in the city. I mean, up every night, or if I'm in New Jersey.
Wait, don't you work for MSNBC?
I do.
Are we not allowed to bring that up?
Oh, can we not say that?
I could cut that out.
You bleep it.
If we talk about MSNBC, I cannot opine on politics. That's the extent of it.
Gotcha. Well, I'll just say this. We are very popular among Rachel Maddow fans.
I told you the whole story. My mother is a huge Rachel Maddow fan.
I have
has texted me after a show saying, well, you know, Rachel said it a little better.
Yeah, I have a huge crush.
So that's happened.
I have a huge crush on Rachel Maddow that makes me question a lot of stuff about my stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how that works when you have like a crush on a legitimate lesbian and you're sitting there and you're like, I don't even know.
See, this is where we're going to get him in trouble. Well, were looking at me like I was going to get him in trouble by just mentioning it.
I don't know if this is even complimentary. Like, I don't even want to do stuff with her. I just want to lay in bed and eat crackers and talk about politics. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to...
Jessica, how did this podcast go so off the rails?
I'm telling you an actual thing. I don't know. Like, how I feel, like, what that means. Like, I just want to...
Eating crackers in bed with Rachel Maddow.
I want to
live in the dream. You know what?
We got a title.
I want to see...
Okay, there you go.
I want us to both be in our pajamas, and I want us to both be, like, sitting
what
there.
What kind of pajamas do you think she has?
Oh, flannel. I think she has flannel everything.
Think of how Rachel Maddow would feel about this whole situation. Yeah.
She listens, right?
She's huge. She's
a huge fan of the show.
No, but it's like...
You think flannel? I'm thinking, like, T-shirt and sweats.
It could be that. Yeah.
Maybe cut off, like not even like old, tattered.
Right. She probably has like high school. Like her college shirt. You know,
Like a little bit oversized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're both sitting there. We both have robes on. And
I don't think she's a robe person.
No, but in my fantasy, Bill.
Oh, sorry. My fantasy. This is Jay's fantasy.
And then I have little reading glasses. I don't need reading glasses in life, but we just sit there and we're both reading our book. And I turn to her and I go, Rachel, this is an interesting passage. And then I read aloud to her and she goes, mm-hmm, yes, interesting. That's it. That's my fantasy.
Wow.
Jonathan, this
dream
is
bigger.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Oh, and we have a dog that lays at the bottom of the bed. It is white. It's a white dog. It's a Lapso Apso. Is that what they're called?
Is that a real dog?
Like the Lapso Apso?
It's close.
Are you married in this fantasy?
Civil union.
Are you stay at home?
Do they have those anymore?
Oh, yes. I'm staying off that.
I think everyone just gets...
Yeah,
are you staying home to take care of what? The dog?
We have a dog and we have two adopted African children. And she comes home from... And I watch the show, you know, and I'm like, there's a good one, Rachel. And she goes, thanks, babe.
Are you honest with her about the show? Like, when she goes off the rails sometimes and you're like, ooh, wow, she really lost the thread.
I'll be like this. I think there's bigger news than Russia this week. I'll go like that and I'll be like, listen, I like what you're doing. I think you're doing good reporting. But I feel like this is maybe talking about something.
You have the beard in this fantasy.
Well, I guess I am the beard in this fantasy.
You've given this a lot of thought.
Yeah, and then
Jonathan, make no mistake, that was not improv.
No.
that was not on the spot.
And then Sundays we do brunch.
All right.
How great would that be?
You ended that just like an Aristocrats joke.
Yeah, me and Rachel.
Sunday we brunch.
I picture lots of biscuits. You know, like we sit there and we're reading the Sunday Times. We actually, because we're rich, so we can like, we get the actual paper, you know, and it's delivered.
Did you bring any of that money to the table?
Oh, God, no.
No,
I'm kept. Okay. I'm a kept man. And I feel like, I always feel like uncomfortable about that, but she's a feminist. So she's like, no, listen, this is just our relationship. This is just how it goes. Money. And it's because I don't bring it. I don't work. But like, I support her, you know, and it's cool. And we have a completely sexless relationship. It's hot.
If I run into her, I will tell her all of this.
You know what? What if this like totally fits like a lot of her fantasies too? I mean, I think we'd have to.
You may have just described her life. Like, you sound like you've been stalking her for.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, she's been drinking a lot of cranberry juice recently. So I'm thinking UTI, you know.
How do you. Oh, I fell for it. I did. I walked right into it. I'm like.
No, it's the joke there was I was going through her garbage and I saw. Stalker. It's improv, everybody. Hey. Improv.
Wow. So, Jonathan.
Yes. I work at MSNBC.
So you're at it. back to that. So, like, the point I was making, here was why I brought that up, by the way. It was not a political point.
Uh-huh. No.
It's like you have a real job, right?
Yeah.
So you got to go to work, and there's a time you got to be there.
Yep.
And then are you heading out into the city every night to do stand-up?
I live in the city.
Okay.
I live in Manhattan.
Okay.
I live near Columbia University. Our Manhattan.
Jonathan, if I can ask you a question.
Because I
have no idea when you work, but it feels like your hours are ridiculous.
Yeah. So I work Thursday to Sunday.
Okay.
And on Saturday and Sunday, I work 2 a.m. to 2 p.m.
12-hour shift.
Yeah,
what do you do? You're a producer?
Yeah, I write and produce for them.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pays the bills. That's great. I have a extensive knowledge of politics.
So like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're heading out? And you're hitting the clubs?
I work Thursday and Friday. But yeah, it leaves Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, I can perform really any night. Like, I did a show with Jay in Doylestown on a Saturday night. So I left work at 2, drove I don't know, slept for a few hours, drove to Doylestown, drove back because the show was at 8. I got back to New York by like, I don't know, 1. Then went to work. Right back to work. Yeah. So like, you got to hustle to.
That's called being 23, Bill.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, you don't sleep, but for me, that if
no,
I did
I
that.
Get these hours. I
if
like
I
it.
Did that yeah. once. I would need the rest of the month off.
Yeah.
I would have to like write letters to everybody. Like,
no one's going to do the work for me.
Right.
So stuff like that. I mean, it's not ideal, but I don't mind doing it. It's what you got to do to succeed in this tough industry, this tough business.
Now, Jonathan, you do not have an iWatch. Is that what you call it?
Apple Watch.
Apple Watch, whatever the hell it is.
No.
I do not have one. Jessica does not have one.
No.
Now, every time you look at it, I think it's so old school for me.
Right.
That you're like, you're checking the time. Like, you're bored. You checked out. That's enough. What time is it? When is this over? You're not. You're doing email. You're doing all your thing. It's just, I don't like
Bill,
it.
Bill, it's called multitasking. I'm listening to the podcast. I am involved in the podcast. I'm checking a text for my wife. And I'm also indicating to everybody, I'm bored. Let's move on. It's like all those things together at once. I mean, come on. Yeah. So I remember those days because I used to teach and do stand up. And I remember times where I would get done teaching, get into a car, drive to New Hampshire, do a college, drive back, sleep for an hour, come into school, and then tell the kids, we're watching a movie. Mr. Black is putting his head down. Everybody just leave me alone. So I get it. That's why you know, building a career is a young person's thing, and then establishing a career is an old person's thing.
Yes.
Except for you, Bill, because you've got 94 careers.
Yeah, I'm still figuring that out. I'm still doing the whole young person thing.
Yeah.
Not getting any younger.
It probably keeps you young.
Maybe. See,
I think that you're 8 years older than me, but mentally you're like 30 years younger than me.
I was going to go with 10.
Yeah. Well, because you still have...
Because I'd be like 10.
You still have hope.
I still have hope.
You look at the future as a bright thing.
Things
and
are
not
positive.
A dark inevitability. You know, like
see,
that's
Jessica's positive.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
Right? Jonathan, you seem pretty positive.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we're going to have to help Jay.
No, listen, I got Wellbutrin. I get it. You know what I want to do? I want you guys... You're getting married soon.
Yep.
And you'll have kids soon. So that feeling of oppressive like entropy is going to enter your life soon enough. You probably got about 10 years before all that happens to you. Yeah, it's wonderful. No, trust me. It is the sacraments of life. It is, you know, just like the 12 stations of the cross, you know, but that in life, you have to go through all of them. The sacred sacraments. One of them is, you know, put some kids out and be sad.
Be sad all the time.
Jonathan, so back to...
My apologies.
No problem.
It almost derailed us, but I'm now thinking, quite honestly, I'm completely now preoccupied with the whole you welcoming Rachel back into your home after her show. I'm wrapping my head around that. Like, does she bring home Chinese food to you?
Is there a staff cook?
So I...
Don't they sound comfortable?
Well, yeah. She gets done her show late.
Where do you live? What neighborhood?
Oh, we live in like a brownstone.
Oh,
it's like a nice brownstone. And
in Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn, yeah. I mean, we could afford, you know, help.
Choose.
But we choose to live among, you know, the people. And, you know, we have decaffeinated.
You know, there are hipsters in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, that's a fight. That's an ongoing fight with me and Rachel.
Right.
I keep saying, I hate these people. And she's like, Jay, just, you know, you got to be more open to these things. And I'm like, you're right. But secretly, I still hate them. And we have decaffeinated green tea. Because caffeine keeps her up. She needs to get her sleep. And we sit there in bed and we drink our green tea and we eat our crackers and we talk about the show and the events. And we watch, you know, we watch the 11 o'clock show with Brian Williams, the final word, and make fun of it. Mm. Like she, in my mind, she has like a secret dislike of Brian Williams and she like.
There's got to be tension.
Yeah.
And all these stations,
she
there's tension.
Yeah. She keeps telling me like, you know what? I'm going to tell you some like inside dirt on Brian Williams and it's hilarious.
It's ambitious that you think she can make it from work back to the apartment by the time Brian Williams' show starts.
Okay. You know what? Why don't you throw water on all my fantasies? I got a new title for this podcast. Jonathan Van Halen's an asshole. How about that?
That's a good title. More of a working title, I think.
More of a working title.
Yeah. What I'm saying is you can't have it all. Like, if you want to gossip about Brian Williams, you can't live in Brooklyn.
So, okay. I know what it is. It's the midnight show is when the hardball, Chris Matthews, repeats.
The rerun, yeah.
That's who we make fun of. She hates Chris Matthews.
You know what?
Just bought into the whole time thing. It's a fantasy. You can get home quicker.
I want this to be real, Bill.
I mean, right?
Yeah. And I think I'm in matching pajamas, like old person pajamas, you know, and I again, with the little glasses.
Yeah. And the hat.
Was that?
Yeah. The,
oh,
the
no, no, no. That's, I mean, you know, Christmas time maybe, because okay, we have a sense of humor about that sort of stuff. Fair but enough. We don't celebrate just Christmas. It's like all of the holidays. It's sort of like a winter solstice because, you know, we're not, you know, we don't, we're sort of a weird agnostic atheist kind of deal. But we still like to enjoy the Christmas spirit with everybody else. It's just sort of our winter solstice. Oh, Bill, you're invited to Rachel and I for our winter solstice party on the 23rd. Well, I didn't
get invited to the wedding, so, you know.
We're not married. It's a civil union.
Oh, sorry. All right. Is it like a Festivus type thing?
You know what?
I mean, I don't bring gifts. Is there an appropriate gift to bring?
You have been subtly mocking Rachel and I's celebration for a decade now. And I love you as a person, Bill.
Has it been a decade?
It's been a decade. We've been together for a long time.
When you are in a civil union with Rachel Maddow, time flies.
Yeah. I mean it's beautiful. I mean, it's a sexless relationship.
So, Jonathan, now, from that.
Yeah.
But you must get letters like this at NBC all the time, right? I mean, people send this in, like, here's my Rachel Maddow fantasy, and it's probably
something. He's not
something
in the mailroom. You know what? He's not in the mailroom, Jay.
If you want to know, fan mail. If you want to know something.
You just got demoted, Jonathan.
If you want to know something interesting, in college, I interned at the O'Reilly Factor for a year.
Oh, boy.
And one of my jobs was going through the emails that he got.
Oh, really? So unbelievable.
What an interesting place, the O'Reilly Factor fan mail email.
Hey, everybody, quick commercial time here. We didn't have a chance to put our new sponsor in with the rest of the commercials, so I got to do a break in the middle of our podcast to do a quick word from our brand new sponsor, Tito's Vodka. So you're going to hear that, and then we're going to jump back into the podcast. Sorry that we have to do it this way, but we'll have it back in the normal set of commercials at the beginning for next episode. I just didn't want you to get confused and think that, like, in the middle of this conversation, I just started shouting about Tito's Vodka. Although it's so good, I could have. There's a lot of really cool stuff about our new sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. And I could tell you about all of it. I could tell you how great it tastes. I could tell you how it's the best way to relax after a hard day. I could tell you that it's distilled from corn, so it's gluten-free. I could tell you that it's made right here in America, in Texas. And not just Texas, the best part of Texas, Austin. It's the best part of Texas. I could tell you the thing I love most about Tito's Handmade Vodka. They use old-fashioned pot stills, and they taste test every batch. It's the same way that they make fine single malt scotches and high-end French cognac. Why is this amazing? Well, it's amazing because, as John F. Kennedy said, we don't go to the moon because it's easy. We go to the moon because it's hard. And this is a harder way to make vodka, but it makes for better vodka. That's why it's handmade vodka, and that's why you got to go out and get Tito's Handmade Vodka right now.
I do want to ask Jonathan, like, what's next? Like, what is the game plan? Is it a path in comedy? Is it a path in TV? I mean, going from O'Reilly to MSNBC, like that, you're running the whole gamut.
Yeah.
And so where's the passion?
Comedy. If I could make enough money to oh man, I hope my boss doesn't listen to this, but I assume that I might be sitting on that one.
Are you asking for a raise? Yeah. Is that what's going on right here?
No, if I could make a living doing comedy, that'd be incredible. I get advice from Jay about it. I get advice from plenty of other comedians about how to do that. But what I get out of working at cable news places is a great knowledge of politics that I could then hopefully apply to sending in packets to places like The Daily Show or Seth Meyers or John Oliver, those kinds of places.
So do you want to write or perform? Or both?
I go hand in hand. I mean, if you're writing on a good show, you can get more performance opportunities. So one...
I could see him on Saturday Night Live.
One helps the other.
I would say I could see him more...
I mean, 23, like, you're just starting. It's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I would see him more as a Seth Meyers or a Daily Show, just because I feel like they're a little bit more buttoned down, and I would say you're a little buttoned down. I don't take that in a wrong way. I just think that, like, you're not exactly... I've seen your comedy. It's more dry than it is, like...
Yeah. Are we doing any events together?
We have June 2nd coming up, but I feel like that show is a little full. I think that...
I feel like we've added people to that show.
Yeah, I've seen the flyer. There was people added.
There are other people on the flyer.
But I'm thinking that the next...
Did you notice that? Did you see the flyer?
No.
Yeah, I think Trev has added
June 3rd, we're doing Kevin Nealon, possibly. I don't know if you're on that show yet.
So that's in 2 weeks.
Well, no. From this episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Nicely done in your head.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, come on.
But I was thinking maybe
keep up.
He should maybe show up on the Sunday that you might be there and I might be there.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then maybe get him a guest spot.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe we'll try to work that out.
If I'm hosting that night, that's easy.
Easy enough to do.
Yeah, because I want to, I mean, my goal is to tour, you know.
Kevin Nealon's a great guy.
Like that. Yep. Yeah, Kevin.
And a lot of those guys will be helpful, too, to new comics coming in. They want to help.
Yeah.
Did you talk to Vinny that night that you opened?
No, Vinny wasn't there. Neither was Mark.
Derek took
it. Derek was there, and he enjoyed my set.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Very good.
I got to do two guest spots that night. I did on the early and the late show.
He's a very funny guy. He really is. And I've been happy to help him. Although most of my advice has been to get out of comedy because this is the end result.
But that's your advice for everyone. Don't listen to him.
No.
He tells people not to get married, not to have kids.
I don't do anything.
Just sit and take Wellbutrin.
Are you inspired by the whole Jerry Seinfeld thing, the tell people to quit? And then if they do quit, then, well, this wasn't for them in the first place.
I used to call that the Fight Club method of, like, you have to spend 3 days out on the veranda while people come out and shout at you and say, we don't want you here. And if you stay 3 days, then you're allowed to become a space monkey. It's the same kind of idea. But my approach is more catch 22. I'm like Yossarian. I just want to sit and do nothing because that's the way that you can get through life.
Speaking of that, two examples. One, Rocky Balboa. The whole story, the whole saga with Sylvester Stallone told it. Right. And Tito Beverage, who founder of Tito's Vodka, our sponsor for the podcast, one of our sponsors.
Wait, his name was Tito Beverage?
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
That is an honest thing?
It's not spelled Beverage, A-G-E. It's spelled B-E-V-E-R. Wow.
I think we should do a
beverage. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, yes, really, it's exactly. It is. Like, what am I going to do? Right. I don't know. Think of beverages. That's it.
I think we need to do it.
He was told no countless times. Friends, family saying, you're out of your mind. This is not going to work. Don't do it. And he just pushed through. He is now one of the top 30 richest people in Texas.
Wow.
Which is saying something. You think about the money that's in a place like Texas. Yeah. One of the richest guys in the world.
The top 29, all Bushes. And number 30, Tito Beverage.
Tito Beverage. But the vodka is delicious. I love it. And it was an easy relationship to build with them for the podcast. Yeah, so they are sponsored in, so we're in May right now.
Yeah, so they're sponsoring us right now.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe this is me going off the wagon for our new sponsor.
I said I have actually tried to encourage you to start drinking again.
We should do a special
podcast. Is that PC? Is that political? Can I say that?
I don't think it's politically incorrect, but I do think it's medically dubious to encourage.
Well, I'm saying, you know, switch one for the other.
Oh, the Wellbutrin to the booze?
Mix the Wellbutrin with the alcohol. I'm not a doctor.
That would be crazy.
I don't think that'd be a good idea.
So go off
the... like every other day and like see, like maybe the booze days are better.
Yeah. You know how you said that this podcast functions as therapy for me?
Yeah.
I think it might be the opposite. Whatever the opposite of therapy is, it's like there's devils on my shoulder and their name's Spadia.
All right. I think we got to wrap up. So, all right, Jonathan, how do people book you, get in touch with you? What do they do?
All right. My plugs. My Twitter is @John_VanHalem, JON_VanHalem. JonathanVanHalem.com. That has all my shows and my contact information. It is May now. If you're around, if you're in the city, I have two shows called Jonathan Van Halem and Friends at the People's Improv Theater. That's May 25th and June 29th. June 29th has Luke Knoll from Saturday Night Live. He is one of the performers. It will be a fun time. That's how you get into contact with me. I love doing stand-up. Book me wherever. I like attention.
By the way, I'm listening to this and I hear People's Improv Theater and I think this combines our two least favorite things, improv and communism.
So, I was just thinking.
Yes. The People's Improv Theater is
now a sketch and stand-up venue.
Yeah.
Improv is...
I'm going to tell you something.
It's dying.
Rachel and I will not be attending. Oh. I'm sorry. We have an opening at the Guggenheim that night. Yeah.
She hates improv.
Because she's smart, Bill.
All right. Now, can I ask this question? When will people have heard from our sponsors? Will it be now? So do I mean, we could be them now.
Does it run at the end? Ideally,
you record
something and then we put it in at the beginning. But I mean, for this episode,
we have a lot of sponsors now.
Yeah, and we need to figure that out.
How are we going to work that out? We should do a podcast on sponsor placement.
Yeah, and I think we need to figure out.
Like, I don't know how they're going
to
be placed here.
We need to sit down and actually maybe re-record some of those things just to get them like in the time perfectly. So I can. We'll talk about it. It's a whole thing. We should.
Is it a thing?
It's just a thing where like I don't know where to pause. So during the podcast at some point it might
there
be a good
idea.
There
were some awkward pauses during this podcast.
Well, yeah, I think
right? I think there were at least three.
I think you saying and Nat, like let's take a break at some point at any time during any of the shows, that would be great.
Or maybe when I'm like, all right, hold on, maybe let's go back to Jonathan, but then we hear from the sponsor in between there.
Well, just for me though, like because I edit it, it's tough to like find where that spot is. So if you could just go, hey, let's take a break, and then we all take like 1 1,000. So I don't like.
Wow, that's a great idea.
And then we can slide in all the commercials. That'd be awesome. And that way people.
So why don't we take a break now before we end?
Well, okay.
No, see, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. Then we'll pause. Then we'll come back and say goodbye to Jonathan.
Perfect.
How about that, Jonathan? Sounds great. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. All right. I am Bill Spadia. Follow me at Bill Spadia on Twitter. I apparently also have a new Facebook page. Listen to this.
Oh, yeah?
I've got Bill Spadia, NJ1015.
That's your Facebook page.
Yeah. Anyway, I resisted Facebook, and then the company's like, no, 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 you got to be on Facebook.
Well, you know what, Bill? Those Pepe memes aren't going to share themselves.
That's it. Stop trying to rename this podcast, Jeff.
I'm just saying.
Follow Jessica at Chasing Jess Nut and just Google Jay Black.
You can find me and Rachel.
Don't Google Jay Black.
don't do it. All right. Bye.